Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's better than a drama-filled housewives dinner party? A drama-filled dinner party with a medium. One of the most iconic dinner parties in Beverly Hills history. We're taking it back to an OG episode where Camille tries to make nice by throwing a dinner party at her house, but one of her guests has other plans. Founder of Barstool Sports and pizza lover and reviewer, the opinionated, polarizing, and often controversial Dave Portnoy joins me to serve this episode on a silver platter. This is Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Season 1, Episode 9, The Dinner Party from Hell. I was taking a shower today thinking about whether your girlfriend, who is adorable and who I've met, was the one who told you to do this and or watched the episode with you.
No. So she's not a huge Real Housewives fan. I like reality TV. I'm not a huge Housewives fan, but I like bad reality TV. And when I say bad, good, however you look at it. So right. I thought it was a cool idea. So no, she didn't have anything to do with it.
All right. So had you watched the Beverly Hills? Are you current?
No, I'm not current. I mean, I watched the episode, if that's what you're asking.
No, but
I
have you ever seen an episode?
No, I've never
Amazing.
Seen a full episode.
Love it. Most people yep. hadn't. All right. This is good. So do you think that the show holds up? Because I watched an Atlanta episode, an old Atlanta episode, and then I watched another old New York Housewives. And the New York one held up in a weird way. The Atlanta one seemed dated. So did the Jersey one. So I'm just curious if you think that it seemed very dated. They were on a
telephone. No, I think that could have been on tomorrow and I wouldn't have known that it wasn't necessarily real. I don't know if I'm the most perceptive in that regard, but I could have seen that being a live series and I wouldn't have known the difference. You're asking the question, maybe the chairs at the dinner table seem kind of old, but now that you're asking it, but no, I didn't notice anything that made it feel like this was from 20 years ago or whenever it was. No.
Except I did think about the answering machine when she got that Lisa Vanderpump's the answering machine. I thought I would like an answering machine again. Remember answering machines? How that was interesting to me.
Yeah. I didn't even pick up on that. I would have even thought this show was after answering machines.
That's hilarious. So who did you like and who did you not like? Who did you connect with any of the characters? Are you anyone in this group?
The only one that I thought for the most part was normal, and I'd be like, okay, this is somebody that I think is a normal human being, is the one in the pink.
Hold on. Who was in pink? Where was she sitting at the table?
Her husband got kneed in the face by the four-year-old.
Oh! Oh, that she's a Maloof. You've heard of the Maloof brothers from Vegas,
of course.
Vegas,
I've heard.
Right?
I didn't realize she was a Maloof, but of course I know they used to own the Palms and the Sacramento Kings. I didn't know she was a Maloof. She seemed like what are you doing there? Like, right. It seemed like she was crawling through her skin. And I actually, watching the show, you know, it's sort of like, I don't know how Real Housewives work and what you sign up for and what you have to do. But why would anybody walk into that dinner in the first place? It's obviously how much of it's contrived. Like, they allude to the fact you're bringing that crazy, like, medium lady who's obviously going to be the root of the problem. That was obvious before we even had her. But yeah, like, why would you, the Maloof lady is like, why are you there? Like,
I'm getting excited. This is going to be good. Now you're exciting me, because I love when someone hasn't seen it. And I was thinking, I keep thinking about what you were thinking. And I was thinking, the only thing I could say to Dave that would be interesting is that that was a Maloof, because he's a Vegas sports guy. So he would have, so I knew that you'd, all right, so that's,
yeah.
She's a Maloof. So whatever that means to you, she's a Maloof. She's married to a plastic surgeon. They got divorced. He married a young hot piece. And now he has his own show. It's very popular. It's about plastic surgery on E with another housewife's husband. And he's, you know, making all kinds of cash and more famous and relevant. And she was let go on the show, and she's living her own life. So that's the Maloof. And to answer your question about what's staged and what's not and what you're signing up for, it's very topical, because Kathy Hilton, who's a Hilton, who lives, yep, in what is, you know, and I know her, I used to be her nanny, but what is reported to be like a $50 million house, she chose to walk into the Housewives currently, which is a big question that you've just asked, because me, I walked out once I already had what I needed and wanted in my life. I was there when I had $8,000 in my bank account. So we all know why I was there, and we all know why I left. So someone walking into the Poseidon Adventureship when it's upside down is crazy to me and to you, but they do, yes, because nothing like fame and relevance.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the moves are well known. And as a side note, probably my closest interaction with like the Real Housewives franchise. So my house that I own in Montauk, the Housewives of Miami rented next door, like, literally. So I could see, and I could see what they were doing, and I could see that they were redoing scenes. Like, they were, something would happen and they'd be like, do it again. And they kept, it looked extremely staged from what I saw across the street. This, I don't know. I mean, they seemed like they really hated each other.
Well, I think they really hated each other. And as the show's gone on over the years, that was in the beginning of that franchise. Now the people are more produced. The clothes are more produced. The bags, the hair, you're wearing gowns to go, you know, have chips and dip at 5 o'clock when no one's there but the girls. And back in the day, it was more real in the sense that people, you could see one of the girls was wearing jean shorts during the day. Like, that would, yeah, never happen now. It would be a Balenciaga gown with full nails and lashes. And, yep, that's kind of also why I liked it when it was old school real. So this was as real as this series could be back.
Well,
then.
Right. And what degree? I don't know. I'm not a Real Housewife, but like that whole dinner party, like, I mean, that doesn't seem like real life. Does that,
okay,
like, let's call up my frenemies and have dinner and then just try to choke each other. Like, that doesn't, exactly, seem like a lot of fun.
Right. Well, what it is that the producers have like a whiteboard of ongoing tentacles. It's like an almost family tree of drama. So they're saying, we have to get these together. And when we see those two next time, they have to talk about this. And after this dinner party, break off two of them on this side and have them talk about it. Then break the other two. Then in a couple of weeks, we'll get another big trip or dinner party, so the whole thing can boil over. And what happens is, when you're on it, it is real because you're really interacting with these people. So if you had to work with 12 different people that you can't stand or do like sometimes, and it's a zero-sum game, it's designed to be a zero-sum game where someone's always winning and someone's always losing. It just sort of gets there because you're fucking protecting yourself. You know everybody's there to fucking kill you like Survivor. So you're finding your own way through those interviews and to try to be the one who's not getting killed.
Right.
So in that one, Adrian wouldn't last on the show that long if she was like that every week, because then it's like she's not part of it. You have to sort of then participate. The ones who are smart dip in like the whole thing on fire, then step out and don't kill the party, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
What and like where they dig up the medium, like where does she come from? Like, let's just go find the craziest person we can find walking on the street and just drop her in the middle of it. Or is
Good
she
question.
Actually friends with?
Good question. So what happens is, like, before the season starts, the producers want to talk to you the most, like really get a sense of what's going on. Oh, I'm going through menopause. I'm going back to cooking school. I'm getting my real estate license. I am fucking my best friend's husband, whatever it is. And then they sort of craft what they think it will go. It never goes where they think it will go because different stuff happens. But everybody pitches. Oh, my friend owns Catch. My friend owns Budokan. I want to do that. Oh, I think it'd be really fun if we do a cooking club. Because you have to have story, Dave. So you have right. to have, you can't just be a person standing there. You have to have a story. So people make up fake businesses. So it's a story. Otherwise you get fired. So it's a Hunger Games and staying on and having relevance. So a lot of it's, that's why a lot of it is fake businesses that dissolve because you have to have shit going on. So she was probably like, my friend's a medium. And maybe how about we have her? Because the friend probably asked and that's how we get there.
Right.
So you got it, you know,
mm-hmm.
okay. And they read things in the news and they'll be like, you're going to be have to talk about your divorce. You'll have to right. talk about this. And then you don't want to. Let's say you did the show, but your girlfriend didn't want to. It would be a problem for you because they'd be up your ass. You know, when I came back after 3 seasons of leaving, I was a pretty valuable asset at that time. So they allowed me to come back and not talk about my daughter or my relationship or have them on, which is doesn't exist. It's unprecedented and it's never happened since. But they just wanted me back. But that, you got to show it all. Okay. So, and because you're really into reality TV, the Kardashians is produced, very produced mm-hmm. by them. So they know exactly what's coming out of that oven. Even if it looks dramatic, they're okay with the level of dramatic it looks. Here, three people from the same family in the Jersey one, they have no control over what comes out. So that's how come families divide when doing this.
Right.
So that's just some little inside baseball for you.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so now Camille was married to Kelsey Grammer. Do you know who that is?
Frasier,
right. So she used to be like an MTV dancer. You know how they would have those big dance parties? That's sort of a little earlier than your generation, but they'd have those like MTV dance parties in Cancun or be dancing on the
boxes. Oh, yeah, like boxes. But yeah, like Springer Break.
She was a dancer there, and then she fell upstairs. So that's like why she's got the big house and all that stuff.
Sure.
Okay, so that's her. Lisa Vanderpump, you know who she is.
Yep, she has the Vanderpump rules.
Exactly. So she and Kyle, the one with the long hair, were best friends. And an argument between them kind of drove Lisa off the show. So she's got Vanderpump rules and she's got another life. But I think she'd, you know, she would come back in, but she might have lost her spot. And then Kim is Kyle's sister. She's the one who at the end got into the un.
Yep.
That's Kyle's sister. She was a child star. I've known her for years, and she left the show, and she suffered some addiction issues, which came onto the show, and they've had issues as siblings through the show. So did you think, one thing I wanted to ask you was, when they were prodding the woman to give a read, do you 100. Believe they were prodding her, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, but who wouldn't? Like, you're sitting here with some person who says she's a medium and can like see that. I mean, I don't like that shit, but I think anybody around a dinner table, even without cameras, to be like, yeah, so give us, I mean, she won't shut up about it. She's smoking like the cigarette. So yeah, they were asking for it, but I think that was a pretty natural thing to ask for.
Right. It would come up. Someone would ask you about a stock or sports at a dinner table. You're not gonna be like, I'm off the clock, right?
Totally. Right. Yes. That was a wild answer to be like, I'm off the clock. Like, she wants to talk about it and didn't want to talk about it. And then she was just vicious with it.
Well, do you want to talk about sports and stocks off the clock? And you're never off the clock, but I just mean, if we're at a dinner party, is that annoying?
No, that's not annoying. No. I mean, that's what I talk. I have no interest besides that. So, well, like, what else am I going to talk about?
Pizza. But yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. So you feel like she's baiting them and she wants to talk about it. And this is like a setup in that regard. She's there
100%.
Because they, okay. Do you believe in this at all? Do you believe that they exist? Do you believe they're talking to someone? I mean, if she got a show made about her, you think it's all a scam?
I think for the most part it's a scam. I don't believe any of that stuff.
So what do you think? It's the Google, the horoscope. They don't get it's any
like,
energy.
Well, is she even in the question? It's like, hey, do you have have you gone through two marriages? And like, she's like, well, I'm on my second. And then she changed the answer. So I just think a lot of that stuff, you ask questions that, you know, you can interpret a bunch of different ways, and it's no different. I mean, there's all sorts of things, like not just with, I guess, mediums or like fortune tellers or palm readers. But you go back to like a Nostradamus who like made all these predictions, and people can connect them now to events that they can allude to. You can always kind of connect the dots. If you want to believe,
right,
you can figure out a way to believe. If you don't want to believe, which I tend not to, you can find ways not to believe.
Have you ever done it? Have you ever had a reading?
No.
Okay. So do you believe, like, don't ask a question you don't want to hear the answer to? Like, they shouldn't have asked her if you don't want to hear shit about your marriage and your life?
No, or— I think there's a kind of a little bit of, and again, this is where the reality TV, like, I don't think that happens in real life unless you're looking for fights. But if you've just met somebody and you're like, hey, I'm a medium. A show is based on, I can see stuff. Hey, you see anything about me? Yeah. Your husband fucking hates you and your kids are going to be sick of you. I don't think that's like a normal human response. Even if you saw it, like, who would ever say that? Nobody, unless you're on a reality show. That is like, they just met and she hit her with like an anvil. So that to me is just a reality TV of trying to create chaos. Like, no one can expect, oh, you can read fortunes? Do you see anything for me? Yeah, you're going to die tomorrow. Like, no, that's like not a real thing.
So it's funny because sometimes watching these things back, I remember when it was on and it was explosive and the woman seemed nuts, but I do think they prodded multiple times. They were making fun of her for not being on the clock. Like, they really wanted it. And so they asked for it. They got it, Toyota. I mean, she fucking get, maybe if they originally were sitting in a setting where they asked nicely, but they're like, oh, you're off the clock. Should I give you my credit card?
I'd have to just watch it before it came on. I thought there was a lead up. Like, there was already starting to be tension. And I mean, when Frasier's ex, what's her name?
Camille.
She's like, oh, I'm bringing my friend mediums based on her, but she's not going to do it because she doesn't do that when at like a dinner. It's like, okay, well, obviously this is coming because why are you talking about it? And frankly, you don't have to say your friend is medium. Like, it's just felt like a big setup.
Got it. Okay, it did. But so I think she asked for it and then she did get it. But that, I got to tell you, the girl had like 7 drinks. It was fucking insane.
Which they also said that was the lead ups. Like, once she starts drinking, like, watch out. These, I don't know, those martini glasses looked like those were like from Duval Street or Bourbon Street, like those places you go get the huge ones. So obviously it was all heading to that. And I don't know where she got that e-cigarette, but like, you're going to get made fun of if you start smoking an e-cigarette at a dinner table like that. So again, it all kind of played Like, I thought she was definitely the bad guy, the medium girl out of the group.
The villain.
Yes.
The villain. But did you, now, what about the Faye Resnick part? So Camille said, you know who that is, right? Do you remember her?
The OJ trial? I knew I recognized the name. I put it together during the show. I didn't know it till Frasier's wife said it.
Oh, but you remember now, like you're remembering back.
Yeah.
Remember the girl on the OJ trial?
Yes.
And she was best friends with Nicole Brown Simpson.
Right.
So that seemed very planned. You're waiting to say things. And I think a good housewife can land that without letting everyone know that they have something in your pocket. By the way, actors, I've spoken to actors that have things in their pockets, and then there's when you actually get there, you don't use it, you know? So when you're on television all the time, whether it's for just being interviewed, you can have stuff in your arsenal, but how are you going to use it? And A, it doesn't always land, and B, other shit comes up and you get caught off guard. So the way she said it, she was just like, and believe me, I don't work on that. I wasn't on that show, so I don't know how that's produced. It's a different production company.
Right.
It could be entirely different than what I worked on based on the producers, because some producers really stage and some producers let you go free. And I would never tolerate staged, and it shows. So she said something like, she's like, oh, right. You posed for Playboy.
Yeah.
So she knew that. She Googled her ahead of time, right?
Yeah, she dropped that. Though, like you said, who knows how it's produced, but it made no sense where it came from. Like, it was, everyone was fine, and then she just dropped it. And like you said, I mean, she dropped it knowing she was in Playboy herself and seemed to be like differentiating the types of Playboy appearances. Not that like I can care less either way, but like, who cares? If you're in it, you're in it. I don't know.
I think she forgot.
You can't be that stupid.
No, I think she doesn't think hers is the same because she was in a lingerie catalog. She wasn't in the actual magazine. I do think that. That's why
she's the dumbest person of all time. Like, if you forgot that you were in Playboy, you're a certified moron. I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt that she didn't forget. Nobody can be that stupid.
But Playboy adjacent, it's like something that comes in the mail, like with a fruit basket that's like shiny.
Did it say Playboy on the cover?
As a branded site, it wasn't Playboy magazine. It was like a Playboy, like additional addendum thing without being nude. She was in lingerie.
That's semantics. Like, you're in Playboy, you're in Playboy.
But then she split hairs and she says it's
morally corrupt. She said, yeah, she called it morally corrupt. It's like,
well,
that was before she said she was in Playboy.
No, but she meant morally. This is why I wanted to do this with you.
Oh, because of the OJ.
She meant like she's capitalizing on becoming famous during the OJ trial and posing for Playboy. No one would have known who she is if it weren't for that trial. So the land of infamy landing you in Playboy, which is literally the baseline of housewives. And in fact, Camille Grammer was a dancer on the MTV show. I just told her, standing on the speakers in bikinis, and now is in that big mansion with the medium and the show because she was married to Kelsey Hammer. So we all fell upstairs somehow, right?
Yeah. I mean, again, that is kind of gross when you think about it, if like using that, the fame from that case, but she's certainly not the only one, and she's definitely not the most well-known. I mean, the Kardashians are like known because of that case. So
you think that, but they're not most known. You think like it's all combination.
Chris, the lawyer for OJ, right? That started then. No, that's not most known. Kim did her sex tape, and then somehow Chris launched that into like empire, which I've always said, like, you got to give her credit because
100%.
There's been a million sex tapes that haven't turned into empires. But without the sex tape, the empire doesn't exist.
Right. But you think it's a vortex? Because I think that there was a relevance. There's certain like people that have like LA relevance, like Beverly Hills relevance.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy Hilton used to be more LA relevance until she went on the show. There's a whole group, and Kris Jenner was friends with Kathy back, and they all used to go out with Bruce and the couples years ago. And Kardashian was part of that group, and OJ. So that's like sort of an LA relevance, still making it into the paper sometimes. So you take that, you add a little salt and sugar, you add being friends with Paris and dating Nick Lachey and putting that into the media, and then add the tape. Now here we are. So that was Faye too. She was in that group.
Yep.
And she was best friends with Nicole, and I guess did capitalize on that in being in Playboy. Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess that's how she became more known, being in that trial. So you think that, yeah.
I mean, that's
the line.
I don't know if there's a line. I wouldn't judge it. And again, it's, I feel like, that was so long ago, but that's a pretty common occurrence, you know, like now people capitalize on whether it be tragedies, big events, whatever. I mean, I still remember guys like, and not that they're best friends, like Cato Kaelin, like
exactly
like the fact I remember that name. That's, you exactly. know, every that became not just, you almost forget that someone was brutally murdered and it becomes like a Hollywood circus.
That's so true. That's so true. Exactly. That's so true. That was a great point. But based on the potentially moral corruption and the bullshit about the lingerie thing, who won that point?
Oh, I was on Faye's side because she didn't bring it up, like, you know, and that was a long time ago. So Frasier's wife brought she threw the first punch, and it's like, well, you were in Playboy too, so like, shut up. Like, to me, that's like, all right, the circumstances, while you look back, it's like, well, one was this, one was that. It's like, if you're gonna say it, you better not have been in Playboy yourself.
Right. Totally. And these are the things I would say, that there's a line that I had in one of my openings, which was, if you're gonna take a shot at this bee, you better not miss. With the housewives, if you're going to take a shot, you fucking need to land it.
Yeah, it seemed like a lot of missed punches.
Exactly. You need to land the shot on this show.
A lot of missed punches.
Because everything becomes something else. And then you open up Pandora's box. If you're going in, you know how it is. You got to kill the person. That's
right.
It. The hit has to, yeah. Otherwise, it opens up a whole other fucking ball of wax.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess, the 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again, the First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances, and the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
What about Camille saying she thinks Kyle's jealous? Don't you have a beautiful girlfriend who's like, you know, got it all and got you, and you guys have a great life, it seems. And it seems to me like you seem to have a chill, normal relationship. What do you think of girls saying other girls are jealous? Do you think that that's normally the case, or it's just something that idiots say?
I think jealousy is like a real thing, but I don't know what. I only watched that one show, and I heard Camille at one point be like, I have this closet full of lingerie that I just dance around in front of a mirror and make myself feel good because I'm always alone. That does not seem like a life that anybody would be overly jealous of. So I don't know what Kyle would be jealous of Camille. That I thought she was the least person to be jealous of on the show. So no, I don't think she's jealous of her, unless I'm missing something totally out of the ordinary. It looked like she was a pretty lonely person.
And Taylor, the one who I couldn't understand what that second argument was about. Did you
the
understand?
One that, no, I had no idea. That looked like something that you're talking the Kyle's sister,
right,
who went home in the limo alone, like she just got voted off the Bachelorette, versus Taylor. I don't even know. I didn't even hear her speak the entire episode. So that just looked like they had wars before. She also looked, Taylor, just about the most upset of any of them. Like they had a little screen in the back. Like she was really upset with that fight, which I have no idea where that came from.
Literally,
what was that about?
I thought I missed something. You'd have no idea what that was about.
No, none. It's kind of like if you've seen that movie Anchorman with Will Ferrell, like the different news organizations are all just fighting each other and you don't even know who's fighting. They're picking up different weapons and everything. That's kind of what that table felt like, just everyone jumping at each other.
So what happens a lot, you'll find this, people come on the show with their spouse together and then a year later get divorced because maybe it was like having a baby. Let's do something different, or we're trying to save our marriage, or we're broke, or we need this. It happens a lot. Or someone just breaks up and comes on. Like, it's a lot of relationship stuff. Yolanda Hadid came on with Dave Foster, the big music producer, and marriage ended really quickly thereafter. Kelsey was on for like the first episode with Camille, and sometimes you think that that person might have had a relationship going or they were having problems, and it's sort of like a parting gift. Like, give her something to fucking do. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
So she came on, and in the very beginning, they were at like the beginning of when the show started. She's in a big ball gown. So they shot them going in the limousine to New York, and I think all the girls were there. And that sort of enters her package on the show. And I guess there's a preceding comment where Camille was saying that Kyle indicated or said, oh, why would they want you if Kelsey wasn't here? Because I guess they were invited to something.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, I that would make sense that Kyle might think it, or.
Well, why would they? Like, why would she be on the show if she wasn't married at one point to Frasier?
Right. And has the money from Frasier. And also, but no, there was like another event, I guess, that they were all going to go to on the show. And the accusation is that Kyle made it, belittled her on her own, that she like sort of needed Kelsey to be invited to something. But I frankly think, like you think, she needed Kelsey to be invited on this show and probably a lot of that stuff. A lot of people are still, why is her name still Camille Grammer?
Right. Yeah. Right. Who knows?
No, I'm saying people.
Yeah, to get the recognition. Right.
Exactly. You still have the name. Okay. So that's what that argument was about. But do you think would you ever do a reality show with your girlfriend?
No. Not any that kind. One. Like maybe The Amazing Race or something where like you're working together. That when you just said like a lot of the couples relationships break during the show. No shit. Like most like psychological, like it's just, again, you have to go to an event like that. Like I don't hang out with people I don't like that would be, I would never do that. Like if my girlfriend was like, we have to do the show, and by the way, I'm going to need you to start hanging out with people you despise. Yeah, the relationship would end pretty quick because I would never do that.
There's always a number. What's the number for you two to go on the Real Housewives of anything? There's a number. There's always a number.
How many episodes is it?
It can be, if it's—
How long are they going to be tracking me and cameras, and is it everywhere?
Okay, it's 4 months out of the year. It feels like 12 because you're constantly talking about it and promoting it and whatever, but it's 4 months of literal shooting with some pickups. And it's probably, in your case, 3 days, but not all day, like this dinner, this breakfast, whatever, three times a week that they'd capture some long days. And then you'd have
million.
To go on a trip.
100 million.
100 million. Okay.
Yeah. So if someone
literally,
else is
not,
like,
not 75, it always is
literally not a penny less.
Wow. Okay.
I'm getting up there in years. Like, so every second I spend doing something I don't like has a definite cost to it. And like, I don't even know what I do with that extra money, but it would be too much for me not to take. It has to be so ridiculous. Like, all right, I guess I'll have to do it then.
100 million. And that's for 4 months, as many episodes as they can crank out.
They can do whatever they want there. I'm theirs for 4 months.
Okay, I love it. All right. Well, I'm right there with you, by the way. They want me back really badly. My number's not that high, but it's a fucking number. Okay, and what do you think about what was said to Kyle? Like, how she handled it. How that
about the, you, what the medium said to her?
Yes. Why? What she said two things. Didn't she say something about the marriage? And then she said something else. I forget. She said two things like, oh, is this your second marriage? And something about your kids. Oh, when your kids get older, you're not going to have anything going on in your relationship.
Yeah, your husband's tired and like bored of you, basically, I think is what the medium said. And once the kids are gone, like you're going to be lifeless.
And by the way, every single woman feels that way. And every single man. I mean, I'm not even saying that that's that. You're right. It's like a horoscope. You could attach that to any couple in America.
Yeah, right. If somebody said that I didn't know the medium, even if you were asking, that would have angered me. And or I got up and left. Because I'm not really violent.
Would you be like, if you wanted to fucking grab somebody by the hair on that show and you were getting paid the $100 million, would you give a shit? Like, if you were in there, would you be calculated or you'd just be exactly who you are and not give a good fuck? Doesn't
exactly
matter.
Who I am. Yeah. What do I care? I think anybody, as you're describing, which I don't really get, obviously, the Maloof angle of it, like why she would go on, I guess the fame angle, but like, for me personally, I wouldn't be going on to get more famous, and I don't care if I got like boot, like I'd play within the rules as long as I got the money. So I, you know, those are probably the best characters who don't care. It's like
nobody on that show doesn't care. You'd be amazing. That's the ironic part about it. I'm pretty decent too. You're pretty Teflon. I am like you, but I think about you a lot in business because I wonder, like, do you really not like how many, if there's 100 comments about you, and it's in different places, but let's say it's like a neutral place, not where everyone loves you, not where everyone hates you. You know how it's the left, the right.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Fox or CNN. If there's the neutral place and there are 100 comments, how many are positive and how many are negative? And do you give a shit about it?
Most are positive. I know it's hard to, this goes against what you just said. The really animated people tend to be political, who comments about me tend to be politically driven, either the ones who love me the most and the ones who hate me the most. And those are like outliers. Normal people, they're like, yeah, we like Barca, we like Dave. And, you know, the reception, if I'm out in the street, it's always positive, people saying hello. So it's mostly positive. But again, even in comments, those are like not real. Like, I don't leave comments on random people, you know? So it's not like the real people to begin with.
That's what I want to say. The people who take time to leave a negative comment don't reflect the normal population. People who take time on Instagram, on TikTok in particular, that's a certain kind of crazy person. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's like the old talk radio. Like, you know, back in the day, Boston, like talk radio was huge. It was like the number one city for sports talk radio. And you have like, I don't know, millions of people listening and 0.0001 calling. And the callers are crazy.
So that's the same thing as interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of like the internet.
Okay, well, that's helpful. I like that. It makes me
feel
better.
Always amazed, like in our world, you get so caught up. It's easy to like see comments and social media, and then you go out to the real world, and people don't even know. Like you think you're in some knockout, drag out fight. Uh-huh. Like people don't even know. They're like, "What are you talking about? I have no idea. Like, what do you mean?"
Well, by the way, and different on each platform. You could be in a full TikTok, Twitter thing that came out and you think you're in a war, like and you've been being taken down. Then you walk out into the other room of Instagram or the real world and you're doing deals and you're thinking, oh, you're not going to not want to do this deal. And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, they
TikTok's
don't even know.
TikTok's the same. It's a world. They're all worlds unto themselves. And radio is another world and podcasts another world. Very interesting also that people don't realize. So Taylor, by the way, they do some preview talking about, she says in a preview that she's a victim of domestic violence. And I think it came out that she was at home, too, in her own marriage.
If that happened, you're going through a lot in your personal life, obviously, leading up to it. It's not like that just happens out of the clouds. And then you put all these combustible people in a room and I guess it gets nasty.
But I always also wonder why those people would go on television. It's like too tempting. That's how Tempting Famous. So the first season of Jersey, Teresa, who I'm sure you've heard of, and Joe went on together. She's paying for all the furniture in cash.
Yep.
And then
she went to jail.
Later,
right. Yeah. They went
right.
To jail.
So there's one example. Okay. Then there's another woman, Erica, who's on the current Beverly Hills show. And I actually knew her. I've met her ex-husband through someone. And she's the most expensive that's ever been on, wearing the most jewelry, has a song, It's Expensive to Be Me, talking about money, and it's $50,000 a month to do glam. And like, she's about money. Like, I have some money, not maybe you money, but I have money, but I'm not on the show. I'm a person. I have nice things. I'm not talking. I don't show my Hermes bags. It's just not who I am. So she's talking about money. And then her husband gets in legal trouble, massive legal trouble, about the money from the plane crash victims going to her expensive lifestyle. This is all alleged. I don't even know where the case is right now, but I'm just saying this is a person that her husband, I knew that he was going through some crazy shit from my ex, who was also in that business, saying he owes everybody money and he's a scam, you know, he's a scam artist.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. And I could tell you, sadly, 10 more stories like that. Yeah, of housewives
they still
that
go, yeah. Go it's crazy. On. Like you said, it's fame. Fame's an intoxicating drug. It's no different than people going on The Bachelor, people going on any of these reality TV shows for fame. I think that it if that's the primary motivation, which it is, it changes a lot. Like for me personally, like I never intended to be like known. Like I started Barstool as a business and I wanted to make money and do something I like, but it wasn't like the fame part of it. Came very slowly and very organically, and like I it's not a much more on the business side. Like I don't consider myself like an influencer. Yeah, I like consider myself a business guy. That's exactly. Kind of how I look at myself.
Yeah, I do too. But you've created a bro culture that is really successful. Like they're the we have literally the marriage of audiences. Like I've got the moms,
yeah.
Like the cool moms that are married to the bros. Like I know you have young guys all ages, but like my moms are edgy moms married to those bros. Like it's very interesting. And it's funny that you mentioned Maloof because listen, when you have heirs to a fortune, just like Succession, you never know where the money goes. And a lot of these people that have been on these shows rent the cars. The Ferraris are rented or leased. The houses they're renting or don't own or a friend lends it to them. You always find out. Someone's always in bankruptcy, always being cheated on. There's always some shady number shit. It's never on these shows what it looks like. That's
I believe it. I believe it because they rented the house next to me. So I'm sure they didn't say that was like a rented house in the Hamptons when they went. Exactly. So it was.
Exactly. And another thing you'll find interesting, because we're talking about fame, there are many actresses now, particularly in the Beverly Hills, all in Beverly Hills. So you have Garcelle Bouvet, actress, Lisa Rinna, actress, Kyle Richards, actress, Kim, who was on that show, who's not on now, but likely will go back, Denise Richards, I'm sure you know, actresses. So now you have actresses on reality television show. That's another interesting dynamic. A, they maybe didn't pop to the level they wanted to in their acting career, but B, they're
staying in the headlines. Yeah, and it stays in the headlines. It's like, I mean, reality TV, a successful one is a cheat code to fame, fortune, and you can parlay it into other stuff.
But what about being a good actress on a reality show? Isn't that that's the juxtaposition of all time?
Right, yeah. Faking. Clearly.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know
yes.
what I mean? If you're good at that, that's an extra skill that should be helpful in this arena. All right. Well, I won't keep you too much longer, but I could talk. I love your take, and I love doing this with people who haven't seen it, because it's just like watching a whole group of creatures in the zoo that you don't understand. So do you think who won the episode?
I mean, it's not the greatest answer, but the Maloof and to me, Vanderpump won it by just not seeing Totally Insane. Like those are the only two that to me came out. I'm like, all right, they seem to be fairly normal people. Like the Vanderpump, like she seemed witty and quick, like an intelligent person. The Maloof, I just thought didn't want any part of it. The others all just seemed totally psycho. Like
Kyle seems psycho too.
Yeah, she seems psycho to me.
Interesting.
Because she's in the middle of it all.
Because you're engaging in craziness. Like, got it. Okay.
Now, again, it's hard because, like, I get that it's the Real Housewives and I get you have to go to the dinner. But if you hate this woman so much, why are you going to the dinner? Like that, which I know you have to go.
Walk out.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Walk out. They'll shoot you walking out. Walk the fuck out. I've walked out. I've done it all because the best thing to do is do real.
Right.
Walk out.
I mean, I guess she didn't look crazy, but she was the center of the drama for the most part. Her and the what's her face? The Frasier.
And to the fame point and the walkout point, if I'm Faye Resnick, the owner of the home's best friend or very good friend, she said she's a very good friend, is the medium who's talking about me and I don't like it. And she says, so leave. I think I would say, fine, I'm leaving. If I'm Faye, I'm staying as a guest in someone's home and... Wouldn't you leave if you were Faye? And she said, so leave.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe not to spite her.
Yeah. That line,
you have like two legs, you walk out. The whole thing. I mean, maybe I'd leave. I probably wouldn't have showed up, but it's like, again, it really did, which is reality TV show. But like, I knew what was basically coming before it came. Like, I knew that medium was going to give a bad reading to somebody, get drunk and be the evil person versus the others. Like, that was obvious it was coming. So it just felt super scripted.
And was Camille, do you care about being someone being the host? Like, do you believe in that shit? Like, that Camille was a bad host because she invited people to her house and then ambushed them with that question. It's your house. You've invited people.
Yeah, she was a bad host.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, definitely was a bad host.
Okay. And then if you had to pick a rose and thorn of the episode, what was it? The best and the worst? Like, it could be bad that you liked it, but just the thing that you liked the most about the episode and the thing you did dislike.
Yeah, one of the girls walked into a plant leaving, which I thought was funny in the back. And it was very, like, I don't know what they were doing to the poor girl who's just alone in the limo. Like I said, that felt very bachelorette. I thought the medium girl, as much as I've given her thorn, she was the most entertaining part of it, kind of in like a train wreck. It's like, is this person even real? Like, is that, if I met her in the street, is she going to be just as insane as she was there? And like, who would actually base a TV show on this person?
Well, no, but she also is hired in cold case, like in cases.
Correct. Which also is quite scary.
We're going to have to find more about that.
Have been some white lies being told there.
Oh, okay.
Why, like, imagine seeing this woman and being like, we're going to base a TV show off her. It's like, what are you, nuts?
After that. Yeah. But I was wondering how it affected her career, by the way. 100%. Right. I'm thinking, you're the police department of wherever and you're going to hire her.
Yeah.
But I bet you that happens all the time. But they hire people that are supposed to understand like handwriting and body language and all this shit. And it's probably all a bag of bullshit.
I bet there's some people out there who saw this and is like, that's an interesting way to describe what she's done for us. Like, I do not really believe, she's too crazy for me to believe anything she says. You help catch serial killers? No, you don't.
Well, no. Remember when Ray J said something during the Kim tape thing, and he said something about the fact that the lie detector person was a scammer? The thing is, I know so many chefs. I know so many event planners, so many social media people, so many publicists, so many everything. I really don't know that many lie detector test people, and I don't know that many mediums that catch me. So if anybody says they do that and I need that, I'm hiring whoever said they did that, right?
That's a fair point. Yeah.
Do you know? Like,
but
maybe,
I mean, she trying to catch a serial killer is like serious business.
Right.
This woman is not serious business. I don't know what she is, but she's not somebody that I would want to waste my time, like, spending more than 3 minutes thinking. But like you said, maybe everybody in that space is a little bit loopy. I don't know. I'd find that hard to believe. Now, not according to her. Like, I'm sure she caught everybody, but like,
but how do you say that? How does she get to work for police departments if she never caught anybody? How does she get a show made about her?
I don't know that I believe any of it.
All right, if she's caught a serial killer, we have to have her on one of your podcasts.
If she's actually, but again, I need it like the police.
Okay.
Being like, yeah, she did. We hired her. I see a pay stub. Not, you know, her story. I don't trust anything she says.
All right, how much would you bet? I'm not betting you, but how much would you bet that she hasn't actually caught a serial killer that the police department?
Yeah.
The police department will verify.
Like, I don't know. Like $5,000. I mean, just betting on her being a liar, basically.
Okay, we're betting $5,000. I don't know who you're betting.
I have a feeling maybe, like, in some capacity, she walked past the police station and saw maybe somebody getting arrested. It's like, oh, I knew what he did. Like, it's not going to be what she said. There may be some way, some hint, but it's not like she sat down, went into her medium zone, and is like, the serial killer is hiding in a storage locker 3 states away. No way.
That, like, a movie. Happen. Okay. All right. Yeah, well, first of all, $100 million to go on the Housewives.
Yeah.
Please let me take a commission. I'll go on with you. If I take the 10% commission, I'll go on with you.
Okay. Deal.
That's the second deal. And then maybe 15. I don't know. Managers get 15. We'll have to negotiate that, you and I, on the side. Between 10 and 15% is what I'd like. And we can split brand deals and anything that comes out of it. I'm sure Bravo will go bankrupt after paying us $100 million, but whatever. We'll see. And then 5,000 if the woman has.
Yeah, there's no way. That's what they should have done at the table. When she's like, I catch serial killers, they'll be like, tell us more. You already caught them, so you can say whatever you want. Like, tell us what you did.
Oh, yes.
Because, by the way, most serial killers are, like, known. Like, if you're a serial killer, like, you know who that person is generally. So there's not like a ton of serial killers, like, and they all become, whether like the Dahmer thing's out now, this game, but
right,
like you generally know when a serial killer is caught because they're a serial killer.
And that's what you would have done. And yeah, that's like, how you would have won the
yeah,
dinner.
Like, yeah, like who was a serial killer you caught? And give us the details and everything like that, because my guess is you don't have them.
Like, you know what's funny? That was like a decade ago. I can't wait for them to call her right now. Yeah. Like, it's yeah, 10 like, years later. She's like, we don't know if the show is still on. I doubt it is. She's like expired. And now we're just dredging this up yeah. again like we like.
Yep.
That was the best part of the whole thing. That made me so incredibly happy. Dave Portnoy. Guess what, Dave? I used to have a sign. I sold it with my old apartment. It was neon behind me. And it said, I know it all. Yeah, I'm going right. to get you. I've never said to another person that they should have the I know it all sign. It was in lowercase, so it's not loud.
Yeah.
It says I know it all. I think you should
it's
get
it. It's a preposterous claim to make in public. I catch serial killers. No, you don't. Like, you just don't. Like,
well,
that's
they fucked
crazy
it up because that would have been an episode two. That would have been yeah, when you right. get two episodes out of one. That would have been definitely a to be continued if you had said that. We would have been checking that. Fucking awesome. You're the best. I love that you did this. Thank you.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances. Whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.